Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Sweet Bitter goes into its second season on Starz Sunday night. What's in store for the principals in this restaurant set comedy? Executive producer Sue Zitterman joins me next in Inter Radio exclusive live from Europe. Also ahead, the latest on Walmart's interactive TV quest, our classic trivia question, and I'll comment on CNBC's squawking to the max on HBO Max. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 82 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you on this Friday afternoon to our latest edition of the program All About Television. Good guests coming your way in the next half hour or so. We invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our tracker number is in business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So check it out and be involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Sue Zitterman from Sweet Bitter on Starz joins us live from Europe after these news notes. This program, the last half hour, digital content maker Fine Brothers Entertainment has set up an interactive content lab in Los Angeles. The venture will put together interactive scripted and unscripted TV programming for various services. As part of an agreement with Echo, the interactive TV platform, with $250 million in funding from Walmart, Fine Brothers will create at least 12 TV series pilots at the lab, starting early next month. Whatever Fine takes the series may run on Vudu, Walmart's video-on-demand service distributed over smart TV sets and smart devices. And one of those programs that may hit Vudu this fall is Epic Right, an interactive TV series just completed by Fine for Echo. Spanish language coverage of the Women's World Cup Tournament and Copa America had big viewership on Telemundo and sister network Universo. At least 18.8 million people watched one or both events unfold over the last month, with both soccer multi-platform or multi-nation tournaments, I should say, wrapping up last Sunday. Average per-game viewership, 301,000 for the Women's World Cup, of course won by the U.S. over the Netherlands, 2-0, and 1.2 million for Copa America. Netflix has a new chief marketing officer, Jackie Lee Joe, in the same role as BBC Studios the last 4 years. She will begin her Netflix tenure in September, based in Los Angeles. And that is news notes for today. This Sunday night, Starz continues its run of original programming with the second season premiere of Sweet Bitter, a very interesting comedy based in New York about a woman who had visions of a restaurant and a whole lot more. Joining us live from Europe and in there, we exclusively with the executive producer and showrunner of the series, Stu Zitterman. Stu, welcome in.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. How are things going getting ready for Sunday night?
I'm sorry?
How are things going getting ready for Sunday night?
We're excited for Sunday night. We're very excited for for our audience to see our second season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sophomore season you're coming into on Sunday. What did you learn from doing the first season that you've taken into the second, and how does the second season build on the first?
Well, the first season we got to make 6 episodes. It was a funny thing when we first sat down with Starz to make the show. They asked us to make, in essence, a 6-episode pilot in season one. And we had the show was based on a best-selling book, and we basically tried to create something that was really born of the book in 6 short episodes. Season two, it's given us a bit of liberty to break away from the book, and you learn so much when you make a first season. You learn so much about your actors and the characters and what they can do, and so when you go into the writer's room to start season two, you really are looking to build on what you've learned in season one and the dynamics and the structure, and we feel like we've found a more interesting, deeper, more dynamic show in season two.
Mm-hmm. Whatever people thought of the first season of Sweet Bitter, one thing everybody agreed at is that you have a wonderful lead actress who is back again in the role of Tess, and that's Leah Purnell. And talk about how her character develops in the second season.
Well, Ella is, you know, it's funny when you make a show about, most times when you make a show about a 21-year-old, you're casting someone who's, you know, 26 or 27 who looks 21. We cast an actual 21-year-old. And so it's funny, we learn a lot about just talking to her and talking to her about her life. You know, we learned a lot about what we could sort of bring to the character. In season one, the character is very sort of blank slate. She's come to New York and she has so much to learn, and she really at times comes across as almost, you know, she almost seems a bit ignorant of the world that she's walked into. What we tried to do in season two is make, give her a more firm footing and give her more knowledge of the world. And so now she can start to form real opinions and start to form, you know, there's so much going on in the restaurant that she works in that we really wanted her to be sort of an equal footing in season two, whereas in season one she was constantly behind the curve.
Mm-hmm. And in the second season, my understanding is that things go beyond, way beyond the restaurant, that she not only discovers more and more of what her talent is there, but also more and more of her life balance.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when you're talking about a 21-year-old woman, there's a lot to explore. And you know, and I think that Stephanie Gandler, who wrote the book that Sweet Bitter is based on, she's also the creator of the TV series. It was really important to her to for the character to learn, you know, about all the things that take place in the restaurant, wine and food and all that, but also to begin to explore things that 21, 22-year-olds go through outside of the restaurant. And the season begins to explore a little bit about her own sexual journey of exploring her own sexual nature and really about finding her confidence. You know, it's most TV shows that portray someone that young, you know, they just show up and they've got a lot of confidence and arrogance and wherewithal. You know, what we're proud of is that Tess feels very, very real. She's not, she doesn't claim to know what she's doing. She's on a journey, and it's just the beginning of that journey.
Mm. Stars has had a very big presence in terms of bringing new stars, new female stars to light. A couple of years ago, Riley Keough got rave notices for The Girlfriend Experience, which, by the way, one of her cast members came from that series. The people from Vita, same thing last year. And now you have Ella of this show. What's it like to work with someone like Ella, who is a relative newcomer to television, and to, you know, work with her, work with Stephanie, to develop a real total character, one that really, you know, brightens up the screen?
Well, I think you know, it's something you have to see. You know, when we're casting the part of Tess, we looked all over the world, and we looked, in many countries, and we looked at, you know, we just tried to find someone that really felt authentic, you know, and I think when you talk about some of those actors, you know, Riley Keough and people like that, they just bring an authenticity to the part. We felt like Ella brought not just an authenticity, but a courageousness. It takes, you know, Ella had sort of lived on, she'd been an actor since she was, you know, 10 or 11 years old, and she had gone off into places in the world and worked and lived on her own. And she had like this sort of boldness that I personally just really responded to, that I thought would mean a lot as playing Tess.
We're speaking with Stuart Zuckerman. He is the executive producer and showrunner of Sweet Bitter. It begins its second season with Ella Purnell in the lead this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Starz. And Stu joins us live from Europe this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Hatball, we live from New York, 82 degrees atop the hour, been on the humid side library things happening here in New York this weekend, including the finale of Midsummer Night Swing at Lincoln Center at Danvers Park with Maria Muldaur. If you think she's just a one-hit wonder from Midnight at the Oasis fame, you may be very surprised if you check her out in person. And she will be the lead performer tonight. The penultimate night of Midsummer Night Swing kicks off at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're in the area, go. It's the best dance block party in America. And if you have a question or a comment for Stu, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. Maybe there's somebody in the room already. So get involved in my phone chat room, and we will hear from you. Got some wonderful guests coming your way on our episodes next Monday and Friday at this hour. Coming up on Monday, what's Earth going to be like 100 years from now? The new CW series, Pandora, premieres next Tuesday night, has some answers. We'll talk to executive producer Tom Vitale. And then we will talk to one of the key people at the Cowboy Channel, who's about to undertake its biggest project ever, live coverage of one of the most famous Western cultural events, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. We have Joe Laverna from the Cowboy Channel, who's executive producing that coverage. It's all coming on Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, you were involved with The Americans, which was produced like Sweet Bitter in New York. Tell me what it's like to do your shows in New York. How do you find the atmosphere? And by the way, I'm curious what the restaurant industry or what local restaurants had to say about filming in the Big Apple.
Well, I mean, I'm a New Yorker, first and foremost, and I love shooting in New York. I've had the privilege of making shows in New York and working in New York. And even when we did a show like The Americans, which, you know, partially took place in Washington, D.C. and Russia, you know, we still shot in New York. It's such a great privilege, an unbelievable experience to shoot there. It's so beautiful. And when you know how to sort of navigate it, the crews are incredible, and the actors that we have access to are incredible. We built a truly magnificent set. We had a production designer by the name of Matt Munn, who's the production designer on Girls. He built a 4,000 square foot restaurant that we shot in at Steiner Studios in Brooklyn. And it's just such a, you know, it's incredible to shoot New York. The restaurants around New York, it's funny. I go into restaurants now, and I learned so much about from our show how to actually work in a restaurant. I mean, everything I thought I knew when I was a waiter early in my life, I learned so much now about. I go into restaurants now and I, you know, famous fancy restaurants. I sit down at the bar and I see certain behavior that from the staff, and I'm like, oh, our staff wouldn't act like that. They're just a pretend staff, you know.
Do the cooks tell you, or the maitre d's, whatever, whoever you deal with, tell you a test, your lead character should give this person a tip, or this is how she should cook this particular dish, or this is how she should serve a particular customer?
Well, we had consultants. We actually put our entire cast through boot camp. We took them to the Culinary Institute of New York, and we took them to a boot camp for a week so that, you know, we didn't want to be slowed down when we were shooting by the fact that maybe Ella might not be carrying plates correctly. So they learned how to operate in the kitchen, learned how to do a three-plate carry, learned all the sequencing in the kitchen. They learned everything. They learned, you know, the rotation of how you put down plates at a table. So I actually think that Ella and some of our other cast members could go work in a restaurant pretty seamlessly at this point.
Mm-hmm. So starting with the episode Sunday night, how does the second season progress? What kind of misadventures does Tess Ella's character get into? How do things unfold?
You know, she really finds herself, like I said earlier, on firmer footing at the restaurant, and she's trying to, assert herself and let people know that she's not going to be pushed around, that she needs to be, you know, she wants to be taken seriously, that, as we like to say, she's no longer new. And what comes after being new? Well, what comes after being new, you know, when you're new, you're constantly looking for something to grab onto. Now, when you're not new anymore, when you've got a little bit of a handle on things, you begin to grow, you begin to evolve, you begin to take chances. And so you'll see over the course of the season that she does. She's taking chances. She's you know, asserting herself. And most of all, she is beginning to sort of discover a bit of her own identity.
Uh-huh. You are working with two masters, Stephanie, the creator of the book that gave birth to the series. She is executive producer also. And you have Plan B, Leonardo DiCaprio's company, that's also involved. How does that impact when it's you, it's Stephanie, it's Plan B, how does that impact the ambiance of the series? How does it impact the writer's room, the directors you use? How does it all come together?
Well, I mean, you know, Plan B is a top of the line outfit. You know, as producers, they have extraordinary taste, and the people that they want to work with, you know, are extremely talented. You know, it's all very collaborative. We talk a lot. We talk about what we're trying to accomplish. We talk about the directors we want to hire. We put the writers' room together. And then at the head of the table is Stephanie. You know, being that it was her book, her creation, it was really important to me that she be the voice of the show. So when we're in the writers' room, if there's something that she does not like, something that she's not comfortable with, you know, she says so, and we move on and we try something different.
Mm-hmm. Did she give any, what kind of feedback did she give about how she wanted the second season to go?
You know, again, she's been involved every day of the writer's room, and she and I got together about a month before we started season two, and we talked a lot about what we learned from season one, and we talked a lot about what we thought we could accomplish in season two, and what kind of chances we wanted to take, and, you know, what we wanted the timeline to be, and which characters we wanted to sort of, you know, evolve, and so she, you know, really... this show is her baby, and I think of myself as a facilitator.
China Studios is one of the biggest studio complexes in Brooklyn and in New York City, and it just keeps on growing and growing and growing and growing. Just when you think it's stopped growing, boom, more assignments, therefore for more space. What was it like to build that restaurant space inside the studio?
What was it like to build it?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, I've never, you know, it's funny. When I look at the Americans, we had some great sets, you know, the FBI office. We had, you know, the Jennings house, which we also turned into Stan's house. You know, it was the same set. But to build this restaurant was really extraordinary. I mean, we thought through so many different things, all the way down to the chairs. I mean, when you watch the show, you'll see the restaurant has pink chairs. And We literally deliberated for a week about this. I mean, we thought, like, pink chairs, not pink chairs, should we do it, should we go for it? I mean, this amount of detail, we built a three-level set that's got, you know, basically the entire restaurant, the floor of the restaurant, a fully operational kitchen, a wine cellar, a freezer, a fridge, I mean, all of it. We built the entire thing, a locker room. I joke that we could open a restaurant on our set and be fully functional.
Sweet Bitter, season number two, premieres this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on Starz, which is also running the brand new mystery series, The Rook, whose producers were on this program a couple of weeks ago. With season two's Bickerman, he is the executive producer and showrunner of Sweet Bitter. He joins us live from Europe. This half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Allen with you live from New York. Delighted you're aboard this Friday afternoon, 12th of July, 2019, whether you're catching us live on Blog Talk, Reading Speaker, or on replay through the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question and comment on remaining minutes with Stu, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll meet the creators of one of the big winning TV pilots at Series Fest recently in Denver. And guess what? It was also put together in Brooklyn. It's called Brooklyn Moving Company. It's about furniture movers who sing and dance for a living as well. We'll talk to the creators. Ryan Harrington and Isaac Himmelman will join us. And then we'll take a deep look at one of the great pioneers in television, not just comedy, but all of television, the great Sid Caesar, who's the subject of a brand new PBS special coming up in a few weeks called On the Language of Comedy. We'll speak with Jeff Panzer. He's not only the executive producer, he's also the head of a very special organization, the Comedy Hall of Fame. And that's coming up next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, coming as you did from The Americans, which one of the great prize-winning television series of recent years, What's it been like for you to sort of develop a different side of yourself as an executive producer and showrunner on a program like Sweet Bitter?
Well, I mean, you know, you take lessons from every job you do, and you know, what I learned working on The Americans was just the depth that you can sort of create characters, you know, and when you combine it with great casting, you know, what we had on The Americans was two lead actors who were just so supremely talented that you could give them virtually anything to sort of to do, and they could make it deeper and richer. So when I really learned going into Sweet Bitter is try to cast actors, you know, that inspire you, and then when you're in the writer's room, really, really dig, you know, really, really dig into character and really work on, really understand and know your characters so that when you're writing scripts, you can find a level and depth of character that, so that, you know, we really effort on Sweet Bitter to not be plotty. We really try to make it about the characters.
Speaking of characters, is there a particular new character coming into this season that you and Stephanie and the rest of the crew are excited about?
Well, you know, this year we did bring in a few guest stars. We have an amazing cameo from the wonderful Sandra Bernhardt in episode 3. She comes in and plays the original chef that opened the restaurant, the owner of the restaurant. And she just basically throws the entire restaurant into total chaos for an entire day. Such an unbelievable pleasure to work with her. And then that's what did a great thing in episode 7. The show takes place in 2006, and we really wanted to do something with music from 2006. So we got the band Interpol, which is a big band from 2006, and we did a live concert with them where all of our characters go to an Interpol concert. And it was really fun to shoot. And so, yeah, those are the big sort of surprises we have in store for the audience.
Where did you shoot that concert? Was that indoors or outdoors?
No, we shot it indoors. We shot it at Marquee on the west side of Manhattan. And we packed it with people, and it was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know that place. There have been a number of events in the TV industry, some upfront events I've gone to there. It's over on the west side, not far from Hudson Yards.
Yeah.
And the Midtown Town and so forth. But very, very nice in the place.
Say that again?
I said it's a very nice, intimate place. There's a lot of intimacy on that stage.
It is. We really wanted it to look like Bowery Ballroom. We tried to sort of make, we cleared everything we could out of Marquee to make it look as much like a concert venue as we could. We were shooting around the holidays, and every single concert venue in New York was booked except for Marquee. So we got lucky, and we got to shoot there.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun when you bring the whole cast together, and it's a kind of a scene where you really want everything to happen live, everything, all the emotions, all the reaction to be live, not really, even though it's a scripted series, to have it be improvisational, really, of the moment.
Is that what you mean at the concert?
Yeah.
We got the band to do it one time live. We recorded it, and then we sort of did playback. And I was actually directing the episode, so I think I had four cameras shooting at once to try to capture, you know, because when you're shooting something like that, you end up listening to the song, you know, 50 times in the course of 10 hours. I mean, you know, the song goes on in your head for weeks afterwards. But we did. We tried to capture as much of the moment of the cast sort of, you know, enjoying the concert as much as we could.
Mm-hmm. Have you finished production of the second season? And if not, how much more do you have to go?
No, we're all done. We finished. We wrapped. Everything is done. And all the episodes are going to be airing by the end of August. They'll have been aired. And we're going to air the first two together this Sunday night. We'll air the last two together at the end of August. So the audience will get to see it all very quickly.
Yeah. And are you and Stephanie thinking already season three, where how long, how far you want to take all the characters?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that can go forever. I mean, a restaurant show, what's great about a restaurant show is anyone can walk in any day, any moment, and it really is a sort of great platform for telling any kind of story. We would just love to keep, we love these actors. We have so many wonderful actors. You mentioned Paul Sparks and Tom Sturridge and Caitlin Fitzgerald and so many wonderful, wonderful actors that we would love to keep writing for. And that when you're doing a TV series, that becomes the real joy is getting to write for actors that you love to watch.
Season two of Sweet Bitter, with a wonderful cast, headed by Ella Purnell. Ella Purnell, and a wonderful title, Tess. Love that. There seems to be always great actresses who play great roles with Tess as the first name. It just seems to happen throughout the world of entertainment all over the place. But anyway, Ella Purnell leads the cast in Sweet Bitter. Season 2 begins this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Starz. Check your local listings for the place at Starz available on your cable or satellite channel. And for more details about the promo online, go to starz.com. It's www.starz.com. Season 2 of Sweet Bitter, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time this Sunday night on Starz, produced here in New York. Sue Zuckerman, executive producer and showrunner, thank you again for joining us. Taking the time live from Europe to be with us. Congratulations on the second season going off the ground. Hopefully many more to come. And also congratulations on the wonderful work you did with Joe Weisberg, Joe Fields, everybody involved with The Americans and the completion of that run on FX. Congratulations on what you did there and what you're doing here.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sue. Have a super rest of your week and your weekend. Take care.
Okay.
Sue Zuckerman, executive producer and showrunner of Sweet Bitter, joining us live from Europe. More from Robbie Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're a Nora Roberts fan, one of the great novelists right now, well, she's got a brand new audiobook for you. It's called Undercurrent. It's a very interesting story taking place in the backwoods of North Carolina. And you can get that terrific audiobook right now with a trial run to Audible.com. Just go to audibletrial.com/televised and make it happen. You know, Audible.com from Amazon is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And remember, there's a growing catalog of Audible originals. It's everything from the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater around the country, one woman, one man shows, and completely original material made especially for Audible. And if you sign up at audibletrial.com right now, you can get three audiobooks, two of them Audible Original, plus a one-month trial to listen and enjoy. And don't forget, you also get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. And speaking of hearing, how about hearing this? Over the weekend, check out MediaVillage.com. It's a wonderful website, the media destination of leadership in the TV and media world. Wonderful columns on where TV is and where it's going from the likes of Ed Martin, E.B. Moss, Charlene Weiser, Juan Ayala, and a whole bunch more. So check it out. And you'll also catch my columns, too, about where advanced TV is going. That's www.MediaVillage.com, www.MediaVillage.com. It's great reading, and you'll have a great time this weekend with it. Once again, if you are in the area of Damrosch Park and Lincoln Center tonight and tomorrow, catch the final two nights, the Midsummer Night Swing at Lincoln Center. It's the best dance block party in America. Maria Mulgar and her group will be performing in, you know that name, way back when she had a hit called Midnight at the Oasis, but she is no one-hit wonder, as a lot of people will find out tonight. And tomorrow night, the Harlem Renaissance Orchestra brings things to a close. They have wonderful swing and dance music for you, their annual tribute to the late, great Illinois Jacquet, plus a special dance ambassador, the Lindy Hop contest, and a great lesson from one of my favorite people, the former president of the New York Swing Dance Society, Margaret Badshaw. That's all tomorrow night, beginning at 6 o'clock at Lincoln Center. Tickets are still available. Get yours now. You can go by ticket charge, or you can get them, try at the box office. Sometimes they may sell out, and you may have to pay an extra fee for it. So check out Midsummer Night Swing Lincoln Center if you're in the New York area. You won't go wrong. It is the best dance block party in America. We come back. Our climate trivia question of the week and a comment about how CNBC has been covering HBO Max, but it seems they're not squawking about Max. they're talking about how Netflix is in big trouble because they're losing Friends to HBO Max. So thoughts about that. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com, together reaching over 35 million people around the world every month and growing. Beat your Spreaker home for Big Bland Radio. Check it out Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And the best of BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Mark Smartly Televised on this Friday of July 2019. Simon Abbott with you live from New Web, New York, where it's 82 degrees at the top of the hour. A bit on the humid side. We're supposed to hit 89 tomorrow and 90 on Sunday. Wow. But anyway, we understand it will be less humid than it is right now. We have a comment for you, but first, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row, and we posed the question first on Monday. No winner yet, so we're going to give it another try. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win a wonderful pair of great magnet dioramas from the upcoming Discovery Channel miniseries, Serengeti. It's premiering in early August, narrated by Lupita Nyong'o. A lot of great people involved in the making of the show. I've seen some clips of it. It's really magnificent. Could be a very big Emmy nominee, maybe a Peabody nominee next year. Here's the question. On the TV series McKeever and the Colonel, which ran on NBC from 1962 to 63, who played McKeever? Alan Johnson played the Colonel. Who played McKeever? You know, that's the boy who was involved in this military academy for kids and always got in trouble with the Colonel. So who played McKeever on McKeever and the Colonel? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from, full mailing address. So if you win, we can get the prize out to you ASAP. Once again, if you first correct the answer, you will win magnet dioramas from Discovery Channel's upcoming miniseries presentation, Serengeti. And if you missed the question a moment ago, and we don't come back to it before the end of the program, we will post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter and on UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. And now, a comment. The big story this week was WarnerMedia announcing HBO Max. That's the name of their major direct-to-you programming service that looks like, rather than premiere later this year, will premiere in the spring of 2020 in both subscription and ad-supported formats through WarnerMedia on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. There was some interesting news concerning HBO Max. One of them was the new start date. Another was a whole group of Max originals announced for the first time, including a group of made-for-TV movies, four of them produced by Greg Berlanti, perhaps the most prolific producer we have right now, that, what, 17, 18 shows currently running on the CW and all over the place, including Netflix, and two movies, at least, from Reese Witherspoon's fast-growing production company, Hello Sunshine. That's the first time, by the way, that we heard about this service doing made-for-TV movie originals. And also, we also learned that there was a lot of interesting new HBO programming we hadn't heard about that will also ultimately run on HBO Max. Now, you would think that journalists would focus on that when it came to covering this story. Well, in the case of CNBC, specifically shows like Squawk Box, The Exchange, and Power Lunch, The Last 48 Hours, exactly the opposite. Nothing about HBO Max except, oh yeah, it's happening. Nothing about the made-for-TV movies. Nothing about the Max originals. Nothing about the new HBO shows that will only get on the service. Not to mention shows from TBS, TNT, Adult Swim, CNN, etc. that will also pop up on this particular venture. What was said a lot? Oh, Netflix is going to lose Friends to HBO Max at the end of 2020. Oh, what a disaster that is. The sky is falling for Netflix. This is the Netflix killer that everyone is pretending to. How far away from the truth is that? But that's exactly what happened on CNBC, on Squawk Box, these other programs. The anchors kept coming back to, well, what do you think about Netflix losing Friends? There's three things you really got to know about this situation. And why CNBC was so way off the mark, especially their anchors, and also Julia Boston, their wonderful media correspondent, from the attitude they took. First of all, number one, We've had this situation happen before with Seinfeld. Remember a couple years ago, Hulu bought all the rights to Seinfeld, and they made a huge deal out of it at their Upfront New Front event here in New York. Of all the announcements they made, that was the big announcement, Seinfeld. Well, here we are a couple years later. Is anybody talking about Seinfeld reruns on Hulu? No. What are they talking about? Original shows, The Handmaid's Tale, Pen 15, Shrill, Catch 22, Rainy, etc., etc. That leads to point number two. Original first run programming, series, specials, movies. That's what's going to determine whether these services that are coming down the pipe are going to be successful, as well as whether Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access are going to continue to be successful. That's right. It's not reruns. It's not library content reruns. It's original programming. When you talk Netflix, are you talking about Friends? No. You're talking about Stranger Things, which, depending on who you read, got anywhere from 26 million to 40 million viewers watching the first 4 days of the July 4th weekend. Or Orange New Black was about to have its final season come on before the end of the month. Or new shows like The Society and Russian Doll and Dead to Me, some of which may get Emmy nominated by the end of next week. Not talking Friends. And how about this? The surveys that you find that are published that CNBC did not refer to show that 10 out of 10 shows that are the most popular on Netflix, 10 out of 10 series, and 44 of the top 50 are originals. And now for point number three. It's not a big deal for Netflix to lose Friends because it never was a big deal. It was never an exclusive deal because on broadcast TV stations all over the country, you can watch Friends anytime you like. It's on, you know, Channel 5 or Channel 11 here in New York. It's on CBS or TNT. NCIS, another rerun favorite on Netflix. It's on USA Network all over the place. And it's not going away from syndication, and it's not going away from cable networks. It's not that big a deal because Netflix, bread and butter, and Hulu's bread and butter, and everybody else's bread and butter in this smart TV device, smart TV set programming world is originals. Seinfeld, like I said, it wasn't an exclusive deal for Hulu to begin with. You can watch Seinfeld 1 o'clock every night on Channel 11, WPIX, here in New York, stations all over the country. TBS still runs reruns. It's not a big deal to begin with. And it was wonderful to see that for many of the analysts that CNBC talked to, where they sort of proposed, oh my God, is Netflix, sky is falling for Netflix, they 2AT basically said, no, it's not, people. Original content is what's going to make it work. It's not going to be a big, you know, they're not going to need emergency surgery here. Netflix is going to exist or not exist on original content. And that's the same for HBO Max, and that's the same for Apple TV Plus, and that's the same for Disney Plus, and that's the same for BET Plus, that's the same for all the smart TV set and device services that we've been highlighting on this program the last 18 months. Others that are going to be coming to the fore pretty soon. And Comcast's service. Not to mention Vudu. Video on demand. Look at the first news note we did. It's going to be original programming that's going to make or break Echo when they decide to launch the interactive TV service. And when Vudu decides to place their programs there. Originals, not reruns. Bottom line, I hope CNBC learned a lesson here. And the lesson is this. Focus on original programming. That is what's going to make or break these services. And HBO Max deserve better. And thank goodness for people like Tom Rogers, who's one of the founders of CNBC, who was on Squawk Box. He's now a consultant, but he also was a former head of TiVo. And the financial analyst for the most part, making that case. There were two that didn't make the case, by the way. And you came away like, huh? Netflix really is in that trouble? No way. So I'm looking forward to what HBO Max is going to do and all these other services are going to do and the quality of programming and how it hits home with people like you and me. That's what's going to determine things, not reruns. If you want reruns, when they leave Netflix or they leave other services, you watch them on your local television station. Heck, you might watch them on multicast channels. You might watch them on ATSC 3.0 when that gets deployed around the country over the next year. But remember, the future of TV, one future, is originals. And who knows? Might even be interactive. And now a quick up is an update about a guest that we have been promising you for the last 2 weeks who we still do not have. And that is costume designer Trace Field, who's been working on such shows as Dead to Me on Netflix, Stars is Now Apocalypse, whose creator Greg Araki was on this program earlier this year, and who will soon be working on another Netflix series, The RuPaul starring AJ and the Queen. 2 weeks ago, we promised she would be on this program. She didn't show up. Last week, we promised she would be on this program, and we thought we had her. And for a moment, it looked like we did, and then for some reason, she dropped off the queue and, again, did not show up. We have been trying ever since to get a hold of her publicist to find out what the story is and to have her on today. And things have taken a turn. We've tried for the last week to call her phone line. No response. We have been trying to get her through by email, communicate by email. The emails have bounced back. I'm not going to jump to conclusions here. I hope nothing is wrong. I hope there's no medical emergency or anything like that with the publicist or her company. But we will continue to try. I just want to let you know that we're going to continue to try to get Tracy on the program at some point. And I really am sorry that we've had issues with this. Part of the issue, by the way, is that Tracy did not do our sound check before our show goes on. We want to let you know that we encourage our guests before we go on the air, 5 or 10 minutes before, to do a sound check. Call in so that we can get their audio levels hooked up and we can give them any last minute information in terms of what we're covering or when she'll go on, that kind of thing. In both last week and the week before's case, Tracy did not call in for the sound check. And when you don't call in for a sound check, we then have to hope that you come on the air when you're supposed to. Because once I start the show, I cannot stop and call somebody and say, hey, come on the air when you're supposed to, because we're on the air. We're live. And we run uninterrupted. The commercial we do for Audible.com, at some point, that's live. So, again, we're sorry about the situation with Trace, and we hope to get her on at some point. And I really hope that in this coming week we can get a hold of her publicist and straighten things out and have her on a future time. So we will let you know. But I wanted to, in our up segment, where we update you on guests and topics on this program, we wanted to at least let you in on what happened and, to the best of our knowledge, why. So stay tuned. We hope to have her on. We'll keep you posted one way or the other. And that will do it for Tomorrow Be Televised this week. Again, thank you to Zickerman from Sweet Bitter for joining us live from Europe. I hope he's maybe he's catching the Wimbledon action. Looked like it was a great match between Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer early on this afternoon. We'll see what happens. Women's final is tomorrow on ESPN, and the men's final, of course, breakfast at Wimbledon, both cases, will be tomorrow morning Eastern time, Sunday morning Eastern time, excuse me, on ESPN. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll preview the brand new CW series Pandora, which looks like, or Pandora, excuse me, that's Pandora. It's an interesting view, science fiction-wise, of Earth. 100 Years into the Future. Executive producer Tom Vitale from Pandora will join us. The series premieres next Tuesday night on the CW. And from the Cowboy Channel's exclusive live coverage of the annual Cheyenne Fletcher Days Rodeo, first time that rodeo has been carried in its entirety on network TV, we'll have executive producer Joe Lomero. Then next Friday, we'll bring you two of the people who won awards at Series Fest for their pilot, Brooklyn Mining Company, that was shot in Brooklyn, creators Ryan Harrington and Isaac Himmelman. And finally, from the upcoming PBS special, Sid Caesar on the language of comedy, executive producer and Comedy Hall of Fame organizer Jeff Panzer. That's all coming up next Monday and Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we invite you to check out our homepage anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And anytime you like, including this weekend, check out the podcast version of our program. You will find it at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. For the latter, go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, make the click, and you are there. And we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today and the show that person is doing, Sleep Better Sunday Night on Stars, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, second season debut? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going, including the commentary that I did just now about how HBO Max was covered specifically on CNBC? Love to hear from you. I do respond to email within 24 hours, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row. Once again, the question, who played the keeper on The Keeper and the Colonel? First correct answer wins those magnet dioramas from the upcoming Discovery Channel miniseries, Serengeti. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name where you're emailing from. Remember, if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question again on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, you can also use our email to be involved in our ongoing feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show, special series, movie that you like that you think doesn't get enough attention? Let me know. We'll give you the attention, and you get the credit. But we have to hear from you, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And once again, I do respond to social media and email within 24 hours. Really appreciate the feedback and listening. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And VTR Production Associates Candace Williams, Antico's Blog Talk Radio's General Manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, Executive Content Producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Show Live is brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. Don't forget, there will be some Audible discounts in store for you during Amazon Prime Days that take place starting this weekend. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For that 1 month trial and up to 3 free audiobooks, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Go there today. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week and make your weekend really great. Again, if you're in New York, miss our next Swing Lincoln Center. Love to dance with you there. It's the best dance block party in New York. Starts at 6 o'clock both nights, tonight and tomorrow night, at Dan Rush Park. Weather looks super. Whatever you're doing this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.